you very much, Pastor Morris Johnson. Good morning to everyone. And greet you. Good morning to everyone. Listen, the morning is good and his mercies are new every morning.
Amen.
So we are so grateful that we are in the land of the living.
Yes.
It's not that heaven is not the best place, but I don't want to go there and I don't have anything to show for it. So I want to do my part.
Amen.
And so when I get there, I'll have my rewards waiting for me. Amen. I hope that's the desire of your heart this morning. And that is your aim and objective in this life. Amen? So we are grateful because we're in the land. A dead man can't praise God. That's final. But while we are alive, we must appreciate it and let us work.
Amen.
So let's be seated this morning. Amen. Praise the Lord. So, like I promised you last week, I said we are going in-depth studies now into the battle for the mind.
Amen.
Because I guess by now you realize that is where we win or lose. And in this hour, we cannot afford, as God's people, we cannot afford to lose that battle.
That's right.
If we lose that battle, we are lost.
Amen.
And so we cannot afford that. So we are going into an in-depth study this morning, and that is from Brother Maurice Rollo teaching. We've been involved in this ministry since 1985, and this was written August 1989, all right? And so we are going into the in-depth study of the real attacks on the mind this morning, all right?
Amen.
Fear, possession, obsession, delusion, temptation, oppression, depression. All right?
Yep.
So let's go in, like I promised you, in-depth study this morning as we continue on the battle for the mind. All right? So trust that you have all your notebooks, your pen out, and you are ready to go. So what we are encouraged this morning to do, face Satan and defeat him in the power of a 100% victorious mind.
Amen.
So what we are learning in this lesson, how to face Satan.
Yes.
And defeat him.
Yes.
In the power of a 100% victorious mind.
Yeah, that's right.
And I want to remind you, you could only have that 100% victorious mind if you are in Christ.
Amen.
There's no way a person who has not surrendered his life to Jesus Christ and living the life could have that 100% victorious mind. If as a believer you don't have it, don't worry. Don't worry. If you desire it, God will give you. I said, if you desire it.
Amen.
As we walk in obedience, everything that we desire will be given unto us. Amen?
Amen?
Okay, so we are going now onto the battlefield where Satan is launching his counterattack on the church. Who is the church?
We are.
That's right. We are. We are. We are. We are. It's not necessarily a building, but a body of believers. Paul warned the Ephesians of the battle we are waging against Satan and his evil principalities. He told them, what he told them, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11. He said, put on the whole armor of God. And I'm reading here from the Amplified. Put on the whole armor, the armor of a heavy armed soldiers. So if you turn in your King James, Ephesians 6, 11, it says, but this one amplifies it a little more. So put on the whole armor, the armor of a heavy armed soldiers, which God supplies, that you may be able to successfully to stand up against all the strategies and deceits of the devil. Strategies and deceits.
Yes.
Remember we shared, I told you that he is a deceiver, a master deceiver. And it started where he deceived his own self into thinking that he can take the place of God. He can overthrow God and take God's place. So that's what he's all about. Deception. Deception.
Yes, come on.
So let's go. As we start to look into the seven major strategies Satan is going to use in his counterattack against us, you must remember that God, and you listen to this good, God has not planned for you, for me, to be defeated.
Amen.
Defeat is not in God's plan.
That's right. Come on.
He has made every provision that you will be able to go out into the battle and be victorious over all Satan's strategies, over all his attacks,
that's right,
over all his deception, over all the weapons that he may use against us. God has provided you with everything, you and me, everyone, his children, every one of us. God has provided us with everything we need to defeat the enemy. As a child of God, God has provided everything that we need to defeat the enemy. So if the enemy defeats us, it's because we allow him to defeat us. But as a child of God, God has provided everything we need to defeat the enemy.
Come on.
Jesus has already destroyed the works of Satan. Jesus has already destroyed the works of Satan.
Amen.
Like I said, there's nothing more that he could do.
That's right.
He's done all he could possibly do.
Come on.
When he said it was finished, he meant it was finished. Man's redemption has been paid on the cross.
Yeah.
It's up to us now. Whosoever will.
Amen.
It's not on him, it's on us.
Yeah.
Anybody find himself in hell cannot blame God and say, well, God, you didn't help us. You didn't do anything. Huh? He did everything he could possibly do.
Amen.
Everything he could possibly do. So Jesus has already destroyed the works of Satan and broken his power over us.
Yes.
So if Satan has power over us, it's because we give him. If Satan has power over us as believers, it's because we allow him to have the power.
Yes.
But as a born-again child of God, he cannot have power over you if you didn't give him.
That's right.
And remember, we are studying the mind, how to win the battle for the mind. When we yield to his suggestions, when we yield to his temptation, we open a door for him. But when we resist him, that's when we become victorious. And God has provided everything he could possibly provide for us to win that battle for our minds. Already provided. So Jesus had broken on the cross Satan's power over us. So we are facing an enemy that has already been defeated. Remember what I said? Brother Shambok is casting a devil from a woman. And he told the devil, he said, you are defeated. He said, Jesus defeated you 2,000 years ago. The devil said, shh, don't speak so loud. Because everybody don't know that. Huh? Everybody don't know that. You think demons shepherd know? They are intelligent beings. Everybody don't know that. So don't speak so loud, huh? 2,000 years ago, when Jesus cried, it is finished, the war against Satan was won.
That's right.
If it was not won, we none of us would have been saved. None of us would have been filled with the Holy Spirit.
That's right.
None of us would have received salvation through the blood of Jesus. None. The mere idea those things are happening all over the world is because of that.
Yeah.
When he said it was finished, the war against Satan was won. Through his precious blood that he shed, we are totally delivered out of Satan's hand.
That's right.
Totally delivered.
Amen.
So it's a matter of choice.
Yes.
If we want to go back into his clutch, it's up to us. But Jesus already provided. He already defeated Satan.
Amen.
We are totally delivered out of Satan's hand. He has no claim over us whatsoever.
Amen.
As a born-again child of God, he has no claim over us whatsoever.
Thank you, Jesus.
No matter what he says, no matter what anybody says, he has no claim over us as believers. None whatsoever.
Thank you, Lord.
For sin shall not have dominion over you, over me. Sin shall not have dominion over us. It's still up to us to choose.
Yes.
Why people backslide? Why people get in sin? It's because they choose.
Yes.
Romans chapter 6 verse 14. Sin shall have no power over, no dominion over you. All right?
Amen.
Colossians chapter 1 verse 13. The Father has delivered and drawn us, the Amplified, unto him out of the control and the dominion of darkness and has transferred us unto the kingdom of his dear, of the Son of his love. All right, so next scripture, Colossians chapter 1, verse 13. We are no longer living in the kingdom of darkness. We are no longer living in the kingdom of darkness.
Amen.
We are no longer. No longer. Under his dominion. As prince of this world. But rather we are joint heirs with Christ.
Yes.
In the kingdom of God.
Thank you, Jesus.
Satan has no power over us. None whatsoever. Satan has no power over us. As born again, as people who have committed their life to Jesus Christ, Satan has no power. None, none. Let us get this deep into our spirit.
Amen.
Has no power over us. None whatsoever.
Thank you, Jesus.
He is defeated.
Yes.
And God is going to crush Satan under our feet. Is that your desire this morning?
Amen.
To see the works of darkness crush under your feet? It will, if that's your desire, it will happen. I said, if that's your desire, it will happen.
Amen.
It will happen. God does not expect you and I to face Satan and the evil powers and principalities of wickedness in our own strength. Like I said over and over, we are no match for the devil. We are no match. Devil is spirit. We are flesh. We are no match. But guess what? The greater one is in us.
Amen.
I said the greater one, the most powerful one is in us.
Amen.
He has given you power. He has given us power. Every one of us. Over all the power of Satan. He has given us power through the Holy Spirit within you. Through the Holy Spirit within you.
Yes.
Everyone who is born again has the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
As for the gifts, some may have different gifts. But as a born again child of God, every one of us has the Holy Spirit in us. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, we are more than conquerors.
Thank you, Jesus.
Through the power of the Holy Spirit, we are the victorious one.
Thank you, Jesus.
And you don't just sit there and say that, you know, you got to see it work.
That's
you
right.
Got to make it work.
That's right.
You don't just sit there and say that. No. You got to get up and see that it work.
Amen.
You got to prove.
Oh, yeah,
put it into practice, right? You got to prove it. That's how it is. So he has given you and I power and authority over all the power of Satan. Through the Holy Spirit within you, he has given you and I the powerful spiritual armor that makes you invulnerable and invincible.
Amen.
Against all Satan's attack.
Yes.
Aren't you glad this morning?
Amen.
You got to see it work though. You can't just sit and say that. You got to get after him. Yeah. Don't just sit there and allow him to just have his way and do whatever he likes. Huh? Have your family, your loved ones in bondage. Huh?
Come on.
See Satan destroy your marriage, your children. Hmm? See Satan work on your job. See Satan work on your body. Huh? Interfering with your health. Can't just sit and allow this. We got to get up.
Amen.
I said we got to get up.
Amen.
You got to see it work. We got to prove the God that we serve. You know, I was always a bold-faced person. When I say I was always bold, I was never a timid person. I was never a person who have fear. Never like that. From a child, I was never like that. From a child, I was never like that. Never. And when I got saved as a young believer, didn't know much yet, but I knew the God that was in me. And by reading, you see, reading the word. You know, when I got saved, they gave me 2 books. The Way to Eternal Life and How to Be a Powerful Christian. Those 2 little booklets. And I read those 2 books and they helped me so much. And when I got saved, that's when I started doing my own bags, doing my samples, you know, drafting my patterns and doing my samples and all that. And I started doing it home on a little, this blackhead singer, on a little sewing machine like that. Started doing it home. And this neighbor, this Orisha woman, well, we know it as Shango, but now they say Orisha. You know, she decided to do something. You know, the devil put in her heart to maybe to harm me in some way. So what she did, she sent to borrow my scissors. You know what I did? You listen, the folks in the church that I got saved in, they were so scared for me. But how many of you know, as a young believer, you can prove your God?
Amen.
I'm standing here today telling you this story so you know that I didn't go mad. I didn't walk on the street.
Right.
I didn't die.
Amen.
Huh?
Amen.
So I send the scissors, and here I send it. I send it in the name of Jesus.
Yeah.
I didn't know much yet. And she took it, and she did whatever she did with it, and she sent it back for me, and I received it in the name of Jesus. And I tell you, you know what she did? She blessed that scissors. Because when that scissors came back, my bags, what I made was better, 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 better bags.
Amen.
You better believe it. And here I am today, standing here, telling you the story.
That's
right. So that's a testimony in itself, because I didn't go crazy and walk the street.
Amen.
I didn't eat from the garbage can.
Amen.
But when I took that scissors and I cut material, my bags was better. Every bag I make was better than the other one. So you just sit there and you just sit there like that. I'm telling you about the power of God and what the power of God can do in a believer's life. And so just sit there, amen, in this kind of passive way. Get excited. Get excited. Because we are serving a great, big, wonderful God. Great, big, wonderful God. So we must prove God. We must prove God. He has provided every weapon. Every weapon. He has provided you and I with weapons of warfare, enabling us to pull down every stronghold of the enemy. And that is 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 4 and 5. Turn to it. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 4 and 5. Read it, please. Let's read it.
For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and
right,
bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ.
Yes, yes, yes. With the spiritual weapons God has given me, you and I, you not only have the power to pull down all the Satan's strongholds, but you have the power to totally demolish them.
Come on.
So they are non-existent.
Amen.
Remember, we are dealing with the mind.
Yes.
So wherever there is stronghold, there are mindset that was put there by the enemy, we have the ability to not just to pull it down, but to demolish. You know what it is? You ever see a building being demolished? Yeah. Can that building stand again? No. So we have the power to totally demolish. Are you convinced of that today? Do you believe that?
Amen.
We have the power to totally demolish. Listen, I'm always in a fighting mood. Do you remember we said that we had to go to the courts concerning the man that stole the money from the church? You know, we went to the court on Thursday. And you know, you have to sit there so long. And you know, you go, every time they say they give you a date, you go, and all you do is just sit and listen to case being postponed. You never even hear one case. Oh, that's all you could do. And you sit there so long, and I became so sleepy. So sleepy and tired. So I just rest my hand on my husband's chair, and I put my hand on my head like this. And maybe I fall asleep a little bit, but with God. They treat you in there like if you're a criminal. And he didn't know who he was dealing with. So he make a lady touch him and he say, "Sit properly, Adam. If you are not feeling well," and the way you know they will talk to you, they'll treat you like a criminal. You know, and you know, there's a limit to everything, man. That is why they are rising up in Egypt and believe me, people get fed up. Nobody wants to be controlled. I said no human being wants to be controlled. Amen. At least not by other human beings, but by God. Amen. Huh? Even those that are controlled by the devil want to get delivered. They don't like the life. So, okay, I sit up and straighten up or whatever. But I started to deal with him. My mouth wasn't open. My mouth was not open, not for once. But when I realized, I said, look, I could take another. I'm not taking another. That man not treating me like I'm some kind of dog or something. But I sat there and I started to deal with him. I started to do warfare without my mouth open. And all I did was stare at him and start doing my warfare. And I tell him, and he couldn't take it. He couldn't take it. He fly downstairs. He might say, wow, I never met anybody like that. That man fly downstairs, and he sat down behind a desk, and he sent somebody else upstairs in his place. You know. So we can do warfare. You don't have to make a scene. There's time for scenes. There's time for scenes. And I know when it's time for scenes. Trust me. But there are times when you do your warfare, man, without, because you know why? As human beings, we are spirit first. Yeah. We possess a soul and we live in a body. So we communicate as human beings by words, gesture, and spirit. Amen. We could communicate by words, by gesture, or by spirit. Yeah. Don't you know that?
Amen.
So there I wasn't in the court. I was communicating by spirit. And I tell you, he got it. He sure got it. He sure got it. So we not to be, you know, there are times when what you got to do? Understand the leading of the Lord. Amen?
Amen?
Yeah, you got to understand the leading of the Lord. Know when God says to shut your mouth. You know, that's why the Bible says pray without ceasing. You don't have to be walking the street, opening your mouth, singing loud, loud, loud. You could sometimes, if you understand what I mean. But that, you know, you could pray constantly, be in an attitude of prayer, and nobody knows they are praying.
Amen.
That's why we had some brethren living in an area when they first went up in the area. And they'll get up 4 o'clock every morning, singing loud and praying loud. And when they told me, look, the neighbors start stoning on their house, I said, the neighbors right. I said, when you get up to pray in the morning, your neighbors don't have to know that. They don't have to know that. You got to be wise. You got to be wise. You got to be wise. Amen?
Amen.
Sure, there are times you might have something prayer meeting in your house and everybody praying. That's different. But your neighbors have to know every morning that you get up to pray and singing loud, loud, and making noise. So they got some stone, you know? They got some serious stone. So let's go again. So, not just to pull down, but to be demolish. However, the victory over Satan that Christ has won for you and I is ours automatically. It's not ours automatically. But you got to put it into practice. You got to put it into
practice.
That's right. Put it into practice. See if it work. See if it work. It work, you know. But prove it. Put it into practice. See that, not if it work, you know, but see that it works. See that it works. Simply because you have begun, you've been born again and are a child of God, and a child of God with the Spirit of God dwelling in you does not mean that you are automatically going to be victorious over the temptations, lies, attacks of Satan. The victory is ours only as we put on the armor. Arm yourselves with your weapons of warfare and resist Satan.
Amen.
That's why I said you can't just sit and expect it to happen. But you got to see that it works. I said you got to see that it works.
Amen.
You know, there'll be time for open confrontation. Believe me, there'll be time for open confrontation. There'll be time for open confrontation. And I can write a book about experiences I had, open confrontation. We went to we had a program on a Tuesday night, but after every Bible study on a Tuesday night, we'll hustle along to the station. Those days when we used to have the program in the station. Hustle along to have this program, I think it was 9:30. So we went into the gas station to get gas. And we pulled up there waiting on our turn. And this two or three young fellas, they pulled up on the only exit in the gas station. They drive up the exit, plain bargain, demanding that they get a gas. And nobody could have gone out because they blocked the exit. I say, oh, okay. Well, the strongest one will tell. You see that Satan has all the power, but the Lord, you know, Jesus Christ has all the power. So when I see situations like that, I don't wait on my husband. I get going. So I went outside. I opened the door of the vehicle and I went outside. And I started feeling the heat right away. Slammed the door. And then you know, sometimes I feel exactly like Samson when he used to lift up whole gate. And I don't mean little thing like with what we call gate here, you know. And walk out with the gate of the city. One hat, one lash. And I get those fellas' attention. When I went up to them and point my hand. I don't play no kind of timid, you know. Went up and point my hand in the face, man. Point my hand. And started warfare. The gas station attendant, they were so shocked. They had the hose. They couldn't even put it in the vehicle. They had the hose just like that. Looking at me. Everything was on a standstill. And when the demons and the fellas felt the heat, hear what they say. What happened to this woman, boy? Not me now. They jump in the vehicle, reverse, and they didn't even wait to get the gas. They didn't even wait to get the gas. You know why? You know why? I've already proven that the greater one is in me.
Amen.
And I just wouldn't allow the devil to, whenever I'm wrong, I just wouldn't allow the devil to have his way.
Amen.
He's not the boss. He's not in control.
Amen.
He's not in control.
Amen.
Welcome to this woman, boy. Not me, no? They jump in the vehicle. Listen, I've proven my God over and over. It is up to us. It is up to you to prove what you are reading in this book here.
Amen.
See that it works.
Amen.
I say, see that it works.
Amen.
Even though you fasted this morning, at least you are supposed to have more power. Amen? Come on, man. Come on. Come on. Come on. So, God has already, he's already defeated Satan in our life. But it's not automatic. It's not automatic. It is not automatic. We must take aggressive action, press the battle in the spirit, and use the power and authority God has given you before you can win the battle you face against Satan. You got to press in the spirit. Over and over, we have been in so many situations, over and over, over and over. Over and over. Wherever you are, you got to be arm yourself and be ready to fight. Wherever you are. Wherever you are. I remember 1 week after 9/11. 1 week after 9/11, coming from Chicago, going to St. Louis, Chicago. We already had the destruction in 9/11 in New York City. And there we were, flying from Chicago to St. Louis to get a plane to go to New York. 1 week, we sat there in the plane, and somehow I find that plane was taking too long to land. The time they said it was going to land, I started getting concerned. I find the plane was taking too long to land. And to me, it was just going around. To me, it was just going around in circles. And then the pilot, after a while, the pilot said, he couldn't see anything. That is why he's not landing. Can't see nothing. Can't see nothing at all. Nothing at all. He can't see anything. I say, oh, okay. Then he decided to land. He decided to make a go for it. All of a sudden, I realized like if I was going up a hill, the plane just take off and just went straight up again. And then the pilot start going around and around and around. Well, I watch my husband. I say, you're not praying? He say, well, I already commit everything in the hands of the Lord. But I not taking that. He commit, but I, it's my life here, you know? So I started praying in tongues, and I really was getting down there in prayer. I say, I doing my part. Whatever he did, I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. And I started to pray, boy. And I don't know if it had other believers on that plane. I started to pray. And then then he made another attempt now. He made another attempt, and he finally landed. But you know when he landed, you know what he said? You know what he said? He said he couldn't see anything, and no other plane couldn't see. But the radar they had on the control told him that he was very close to another plane, and none of them could see one another. That's why he went back up. Very close to another plane, and none could see one another. So he decided to go up. I say, oh. So listen, as believers, wherever you are, you're on the road, you're on a plane, wherever you are, you got to be always ready to war.
Amen.
You got to be always ready to fight. You got to be always ready. Always ready. Sometimes I'm traveling. I remember the time I was traveling from Curep to San Fernando or something like that, traveling in a taxi. And just before we were reaching it in the intersection lane on Valsine, before that, I got quickening in my spirit to pray. I got a quickening in my spirit to pray. So as I finished praying and as I said amen, listen, it's only God that saved us from this terrible crash. It's only God. And after the driver came out of it, he said something. I said, driver, I said, if you only know, this is only God. I said, as soon as I said amen, I said, you get out, you was able to get out of that situation with that terrible crash it was going to have. So we got to be always alert.
Amen.
And we got to be so sensitive to where the Lord is leading us. Whether wherever we are, we got to be very, very sensitive. Just remember, we are focusing on the mind. So our victory over Satan's counterattack is not automatic.
That's right.
After Jesus did all he did, he wouldn't just throw things on us, throw victory on us. No. We got to know. Listen, because he has already provided every possible piece of weapon that we need to win this battle. But we got to use it.
Yes.
And I understand that long ago. We got to use it.
That's right.
We got to use it.
Thank you, Jesus.
Don't just sit there. These signs shall follow them that believe.
Amen.
Are you believers this morning?
Amen.
In my name you'll cast out devils, Jesus promised. Are you casting out devils?
Right.
Are you casting out devils?
Amen.
Only one man saying amen? Because he cast out so many devils in his life. And what about you? In my name, he didn't say special people. He didn't say the fivefold ministers. He said them that believe.
Yes.
In my name, he'll cast out devils.
That's right.
And the promise is for us.
Yes.
Mark 16 from verse 15. Promises for us.
Amen.
The reason why there are so many Christians today living defeated life is through default. Could you imagine that?
Yep.
There's a saying, something with evil, what evil will do something when good men do nothing? All it takes for evil to triumph is
for good
men to do nothing, good people to do nothing. So evil will only triumph when good people do nothing, when God's people decide not to do nothing.
That's
right. So he win by default.
Yeah.
He win by default. Satan has been able to defeat them not because he is more powerful, because he isn't.
Amen.
Anybody believe he is more powerful?
No.
Because he isn't more powerful. And let me read this to you again. Satan has been able to defeat them, not because he is more powerful, because he isn't, but they have been defeated because they have failed to take offensive position and fight against Satan and his evil principalities. Listen, the minute you make a move, that's when you're on a way to victory, you know. Yeah, your circumstances might keep you at home when you're supposed to be in the house of the Lord. And the minute you keep healing, he will bring more and more situations and circumstances. He will bring all kind of things.
That's right.
If you see him this Sunday before you're sick, because of how you feel, you think next Sunday you'll feel better? Man, give me a break. You'll feel worse. And the other Sunday will be worse. But the minute you decide to rise up, listen, God is just waiting for us to make one move.
Amen.
And don't you know he helps us make the rest?
Yeah.
Make one step and God will help make the rest.
Amen.
He will help make the rest. In recent years, the body of Christ has come into greater awareness of the spiritual warfare we are fighting against Satan. Most Christians today know that the battle is raging, but they don't know where it is taking place, how he is attacking, and how to defeat him.
Very important. Where?
You know when he don't know where it's believers don't know. They know the battle is raging, but they don't know where. They don't know how Satan is attacking and how to defeat him. You know, until 1985, in 1985, Brother Maurice Cirillo came into this nation and he kept a one-week seminar with the church, the body of Christ in Trinidad and Tobago. All right? And that's where we learn spiritual warfare. Let anybody else come and tell you where they learn it. No matter how they try, they might try to polish it and add or take away whatever, but the body of Christ, oh, listen, in the world, because God lay on the servant heart how to do warfare. And what warfare is really about.
Amen.
How we don't go on the surface, but we go into the root.
Yes.
We locate the enemy and see where he's operating.
Yes.
All we knew to do in these churches, full gospel churches, was to say, Satan, I rebuke you in Jesus' name. And it worked until we got better light. We got better revelation.
Amen.
Better understanding. Because when that man came to rape me, I didn't know warfare like I know it now. You know, I wasn't this serious warrior in the spirit as I am now. But nevertheless, when I said, Satan, I rebuke you in Jesus' name, I felt a power just fell on me. I felt strong, big, tall, powerful. And I shook up that man like that. And I tell you, I started warfare and he couldn't even touch me, much as to rape me. He started struggling with me. But when that power came, he couldn't as much touch me anymore.
Amen.
And that's all I knew as a young believer to say, Satan, I rebuke you in Jesus' name. And then the power came. I felt the power. I felt the anointing. I felt the power. But nevertheless, we are more exposed now to a greater light than we was exposed to before. You know, we now get the revelation, we get the understanding and the knowledge of what spiritual warfare is all about and who we are wrestling with. Amen. Was not wrestling with that man, but I was wrestling, the Holy Spirit in me was wrestling with the demon in him. And I'll keep telling you all the time, flesh and blood is not our enemy. I said flesh and blood is not our enemy. Amen. But we got to go beyond that and see who is behind that person. Who is behind that person? Through the message of the new anointing, you have learned that we are not fighting against flesh and blood. Our battle is not with our family members. Our battle is not with our husband, our wives, employer, fellow workers. Huh? Our battle is against principalities and powers, rulers of darkness, spiritual wickedness. It's not with sickness and disease, whether it's cancer, high blood pressure, heart disease, diabetes, all sicknesses. Our battle is not against sickness. It's against the powers of darkness. That is why I don't believe in just settling for nothing. High blood pressure is not ours. Right. Jesus Christ paid the price for us to get high blood pressure?
No.
Sugar diabetes?
No.
Cancer?
No.
And just name them. Huh?
That's right.
It's not ours?
No.
Is it in the package? No. Jesus Christ took 39 stripes for this. So when the devil attack our bodies, what we got to do? Sit down and just take it? You got to get something, you know, something got to take you. You have to go with something. You got to get something for you to go. Huh? No, we got to fight it. We got to fight it. We got to fight. We walk by faith and not by sight. We got to fight it. It's not in the package.
Amen.
It is not in the salvation package.
Amen.
We got to fight it.
Thank you, Jesus.
Spirits of infirmity, we got to fight it. Not in our own strength, but in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. So our battles are not the problems we are facing on our jobs and our finances. And sometimes the battle that we face in our finances, we cannot blame God at all. Because when we work and we give the tenth, and then we give in offerings and we continue giving, there are promises in his word.
Amen.
He will rebuke the devourer for our sake. So when you try to hold our money and not give, when the devourer comes, the money don't add up. Sometimes you don't even see the money when the devourers come. When the devourer come.
Right.
He devours everything.
Amen.
Devours your health. Devours your finances. Your family, your children. Your marriage. Your bodies. Just name it. He's the devourer.
Yes.
But God promises when we give that he will rebuke the devourer for our sake.
Amen.
How many of you know when he rebukes the devourer, he's well rebuked? You know, we have to put our hands. God promised he's going to rebuke the devourer for our sake. Amen?
Amen.
So we must go beyond the surface to the root cause. Just like I said, flesh and blood is not our enemy, it's our neighbors. They could show how much word they want to show. We must see that they are not our enemies.
Amen.
Sometimes some neighbors, you know that they are not your enemies, but they make you their enemies. It's not them. See who is behind them. See who is behind them.
That's right.
Flesh and blood is not our enemies. Not our enemies. Let's see the root cause. So in prayer, we must go deep into the spiritual realm and locate the real enemy, the evil spirits that are at work. And what we must do when we locate these evil spirits that are at work, bind them in the name of Jesus. Amen. Promise again. What we bind is already bound in heaven. Yes. So we, in other words, we are just working along with heaven. Yes. What we loose is already loose in heaven. This spiritual warfare that we are fighting is not just a theory. Listen. Does that sound like 1989? No, it sounds like 2011, right?
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, it is more intense. Because the enemy knows that his time is short.
That's right.
It's shorter than 89, right? And so he's working over time. He's working on the minds. And listen, one thing that we need to go into serious battle against is for the minds of the youth. The devil feels that the youth of this world belongs to him. He has deceived himself into believing that the youth of this world belong to him. And so he don't want them in church. He don't want them sitting in church hearing God's word. He don't want them serving God. He want them out there. And you see what he's doing? He's destroying. Some of them, they're not even making 20 years. And so we got to battle for the youths. We got to battle for them.
Amen.
They're not even making 20, much as 25. At least after the flood, because of the wickedness of man, God said at least 70 years. But they're not even reaching 25. I tell you, don't you see that? He's fighting for them to control their minds. He has controlled so many already. And even though you find some might be in church, you don't want them to even hear what's being said. You don't want them to even take part in nothing. Don't get serious. Don't serve. No problem coming to church, but don't serve Jesus Christ. Don't sing. Don't read the word. Don't listen. So you know what we got to do? We got to see, make him understand. And see that he don't win that.